Hello and welcome to
Ghost
Beat! That made them fully get up and leave.
Aries completely freak out. I'm sorry. Horror podcast with Todd and Becca. I'm Todd.
Shit. No.
Forgot what how I started this. Let me try again. Hello and welcome to
Ghost
A Horror Podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca. That's how
Hi,
I say it.
Yeah.
Okay. We watched Beetlejuice came out in 2024, directed by Tim Burton. I think everybody is pretty familiar. What is your era of Tim Burton?
I feel like Nightmare Before Christmas was probably.
Oh, really?
But I mean, also this, I saw this as a kid. I mean, not, well, the first movie.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my Tim Burton was Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas. And definitely the Batman movies were huge for me.
Oh, I love the Batman movies.
I think, honestly, for me, it was Planet of the Apes when he did that. That was when it was kind of oh, Tim, I don't know if I can ride with you anymore.
Oh, I skipped that altogether.
Yeah.
Just personally.
I do think there was a certain point where I just kind of fell off Tim Burton stuff. But this movie, it's funny because I don't think either of us really watched Beetlejuice since we were children. It's been a very long time. So even though it was a pretty big movie for me back then, and it sounds like for you too, it's not something that I think about a lot.
No.
So when they announced the sequel, it was kind of okay, seems weird now to do this, but it was fine. But then when I saw the trailers and started seeing the reviews, it seemed people were really into this. Mm-hmm. So it was okay, let's go check it out.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
I know, you liked it too. I think if we're gonna not talk spoilers right now, I'll just say the movie, I think my biggest complaint, there's gonna be a lot of stuff that's gonna make me sound very negative on it, I think, because there are a lot of things that I either wasn't happy with or whatever, but I think overall it was just really fun.
Yeah.
And overall it was it was still very imaginative and creative with everything and the effects. And it felt like there's a lot of practical effects, but then there's also there were VFX that were made to look practical, you know? So it just had this really fun aesthetic that just made it a good time.
Yeah.
I do think though that the plot, it felt like there was too much plot. It just felt like there was a lot of stuff going on that felt unnecessary. I think that's the weakest part because it just felt kind of convoluted. And the first movie, we just rewatched the first movie after seeing this. And that one has a much more straightforward story.
Yeah.
And this, we'll get into it with the spoilers, but it just felt like a lot of little stories that didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But the overall story is basically that this is an excuse to bring all the family back together because they kill the guy with allegations who couldn't be in the movie, basically. And that's what they use to bring the characters together, and they introduce, what's her name? Lydia? It's Lydia's daughter, right? So that's the new character in the family.
Astrid. Is that a spoiler?
No.
I don't know.
The name of a character? I don't think so.
No.
You're good. But that brings them all together, and they get caught up in ghost shit again, and Beetlejuice is there. And I think, and I also think Beetlejuice is, really underused in this. He kind of takes a back seat.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird. I don't know. He's, I think, it's one of those things where the first movie, if you tally up how much he's on screen, it's actually, a tiny amount. You know what I mean? But it still felt like he was present in that whole movie.
Oh my
and
God.
Yeah, and really stood out. And I do think in this one, he definitely, it felt like he just wasn't featured as much and didn't do as much, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was that was probably my biggest complaint. But it was still, it was good. I'm glad that we saw it. It was still just every bit as imaginative and creative as the first movie. It just really captured that. And it felt like Tim Burton's kind of back. Like, this is the kind of Tim Burton that
oh yeah
I want to see more of, you know. So yeah, so you recommend it?
Yeah, oh, of course I do. Yeah, it's, okay. It's very good. I think there's a really it brings the same stylistic approach to the world as the first one. Yeah. So.
Plus this like Halloween vibe to yeah. everything is oh very my God. Cool.
It's got
like
me so very excited timeless. For fall.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's perfect timing for this to come out yeah. now. They did that on purpose,
they
didn't
they?
They
did that on purpose.
I think that's how movies work. But yeah, why don't we just get into the spoilers then? So yeah, this one, it's like, there's a lot that I'm going to complain about, but it's just kind of like, they're just like observations, okay? It's one of those things, it's hard to judge in a like simple way mm-hmm. something like this where it's like I had a good time and the good things were like the things that really mattered,
right?
You know what I mean? So overall I'm very positive.
Yeah, I honestly kind of agree with you though. Like there were some weak moments, you know. I feel like my attention got a little like drifted from some parts, but parts that really caught my attention were very good. Like very, very good.
It's like it's just one of those things where like the experience was positive, mm-hmm. so that's kind of enough to be like, you did it.
Yeah.
You're good. Yeah. But it's like it did feel like one of the cynical things I can say is they definitely leaned into the like, oh, it's Beetlejuice, the Beetlejuice you know and love. So like he for some reason has an office full of like the shrunken head guys because it's like, hey, remember the shrunken head guy? He was really cool. Here's a whole bunch of them. It's like stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are like the iconic Beetlejuice things and it's just front and center.
Yeah.
And which is also funny because rewatching the first movie, I was surprised how like anti-capitalist it is.
Yeah.
Because obviously I wasn't really picking up on that when I was a child.
Yeah.
So this movie almost feels like the other side of the coin in that way.
Yes.
It's like all the most marketable shit. Like I think the popcorn bucket was the shrunken head guy, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was like a cup with the little shrunken head and had the sandworm.
He's in like a fucking CarMax ad, you know?
Beetlemax.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
That was like a little bit too much. But yeah, so it's like, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you know what you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think it also reflects that like the movie feels way more child friendly.
Oh,
it's way more of like a family movie. And there were... Why do you keep lifting your legs?
I'm sorry. I have to... I'm so uncomfortable.
Okay. Oh, you're uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Do you want to put your legs up?
Yeah, that's so much better.
Okay. But yeah, there were like all these families in the theater and everything.
Yes. There's so many families, so many kids.
It definitely feels like it's marketed more in that direction. And I think that's like, it's a reflection of, I mean, how long has it been? Like 30 fucking years or something like that?
I don't want to think about it.
It's a long time since the last one came out. But it makes it feel like it's this way more like self-aware reflection of its popularity and everything. You know, it's like if a sequel came out a year after the movie came out, it would look nothing like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's like a cynical way of looking at like the commercialization of Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. And the other thing is, yeah, with the story, it just felt like there wasn't really much of a central story. You know, it felt like all these little stories that felt like really inconsequential. Because even, what's the actress's name? She's an ex.
Oh, Jenna Ortega.
Yeah. So like Jenna Ortega, her whole story is just she meets a guy who is a ghost that's trying to swap bodies with her.
Yeah.
And it like wraps up instantly. You know what I mean? It's like, they're like nothing comes of that. It's just like there. And yeah, that also feels kind of cynical that considering, like, when was this guy, when did he have the allegations? Like, he's been so fucking disruptive.
He's so loud tonight.
Yeah, the one actor, it feels like the movie had to be written, like, after all that happened. And I don't know enough about the production, like, if they had to change it. Or if it literally, this was developed like that late, you know?
I don't know.
Because the movie, it like very much hinges on that. And then all the other stories, you have, like I said, Beetlejuice is barely in the movie. Ares is like so fucking distracting. Like, why, man? Why are you doing this to me? Can you just relax? Just go lay down or something. But you have that, and then you have Winona Ryder, Lydia.
Yeah.
When you have Lydia and her whole relationship with this like skeezy ass dude, he's definitely like, who's the fucking Ghost Watch guy? Ghost Adventures. What's it, Bagans? What the fuck's his name? You Josh?
Bring up Zach Bagans again. Zach
Bagans.
Bagans.
Fucking Zach. This is a Zach Bagans bitch right here. Totally. Yeah, it's just all these little plots that are like, they're kind of fun, but they do feel like very pointless. And even like Beetlejuice, his involvement is so minor. It's like, it's supposed to be like Monica Bellucci's character is like hunting him down in the background. Yeah. And then he's trying to scheme to get married to her again. But it's like, it feels like this very tame, like, oh, this is our friendly buddy Beetlejuice, you know, like it's not really like high stakes or anything.
And
he just isn't really featured in the movie that much.
Yeah.
So it felt almost like this is like the television version of Beetlejuice in a way, you know?
Yeah, I see that.
But at the same time, you got a fucking cool sandworm who looks like the old claymation kind of. And all the big effects and stuff are still really fun.
Yeah, they definitely still keep the campiness of it, you know? I mean, I think it had a really strong, like, Halloween feel. Like, it really put you back into a time when people actually, like, decorated their house for Halloween. You know?
That's true. This Tim Burton is definitely like carrying the spirit of Halloween between this and Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's he's
like,
doing a lot of heavy lifting.
We're relying on Tim Burton for Halloween. Like, please help us.
We need more help in the Halloween revival department.
Didn't they kind of replace the 12-foot skeleton with the like 12-foot Jack Skellington? I remember seeing that as like a big popular one at Home Depot.
Oh, really? I don't think I've seen that one.
I think that's like one of the top selling ones.
That's crazy.
So yeah, he's got that shit on lockdown. So yeah, definitely, this is a great like fall movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely like a fun excuse to go to the theaters and get in the mood for fall and Halloween.
Yeah, this is definitely just another one of those like gateway to horror movies like as a kid.
Yeah,
it's totally like the perfect movie for that.
Yeah, and I liked that they did keep Beetlejuice like a little sleazy. Like, he's definitely more like PG.
Yeah,
but he's still kind of a sleaze bag.
Yeah, he definitely toned it down.
Yeah, you could definitely hear like the dads in the theater like laughing way too hard at his shit.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, calm down, guys. We get it.
Yeah, okay. Especially the part where they said, like, she's a soul sucker. And, like, I heard every dad in the theater.
Yeah, every dad, like sitting with his children right next to him, like, laughing his ass off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, calm the fuck down. But, yeah, it was fun. I'm actually, I was thinking of just waiting for this to be streaming because I wasn't, like, that amped about it. But I'm glad we went and saw it.
Yeah, I'm glad we did, too. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it helps to get in the mood for the season.
Yeah, I've been having to really convince you.
I'm just lazy, okay? Like, I don't feel like dealing with pulling a fucking 12-foot skeleton out of the attic and shit. Jesus. I'm fucking tired.
I'm sorry. But
it's okay. They get too real. I'm just joking. No, but it's funny because it's like, yeah, it's easy to be negative and kind of nitpick, but it's like I said, this is just, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And it still manages to be like super creative. I feel like this is the era of this shit because Romulus is kind of like this too, where it was kind of like there was a lot to criticize. It felt very commercialized, right, but it was still a good movie.
Yeah.
So.
And they know how to play the nostalgia.
They know what they're doing. They brought everybody back for this and everything. But yeah, it was good. I don't know. Was there anything else you had?
I mean, Jenna Ortega did really great in this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of like
from really... X to this.
She's great.
Yeah.
I think I'm just so impressed.
She's doing a lot of great horror stuff now.
Yeah, she's really making a name for herself, and I'm excited for her career.
Yeah, me too. I think that's all I got. Yeah. I think we'll just talk about Beetlejuice next. But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod on all the social places. And you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank all the movies we cover. I don't know why, because the rankings change every time, and it doesn't matter. But hold on. Okay, I think I would put it under Last Voyage of the Demeter and above Pulse.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sounds good. That is actually number 42 on the list. You can also contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Just say hello. Bye.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.